It is Friday. This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. Well, what a week it's been. Let's talk to a man that gets to the heart of the matter every time he speaks. Wayne Allen Root is with us. It's rootforamerica.com. Wayne, as always, it's great to have you here on the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap.
Hey, Michael. Always a pleasure and an honor to be on the show, so thank you for inviting me on.
You've been a while since we talked. I'm curious, what have you been up to? Because last time we talked, you had just come back from Asia. You were doing some kind of a fundraising trip. What have you been up to?
Actually, it was a speaking tour of Asia. I stopped in six cities in five countries, including Hong Kong and Singapore, my two favorites, and it was fantastic and highly successful. Mm-hmm. And came home and signed a deal, inked a deal, to do my own national radio show with USA Radio Network. And so that has started. We're now in our second month, and every single day you can hear me at usaradio.com from 6 to 9 p.m. East Coast time at usaradio.com. And my website is rootforamerica.com. You can find all my books and radio and everything else. So usaradio.com or rootforamerica.com, all as well.
How are you enjoying talk radio?
I love it. I mean, I've been doing it for over a year in Vegas from 3 to 6 p.m. Vegas time, the afternoon drive, and inked the national deal, which makes a lot of sense because basically I'm just taking my Vegas show and just replicating it all over the country. It's no additional work. You just replicate the show that you're already doing, so it's fantastic.
Okay. And now, do you have affiliates, too, like radio affiliates out there, stations?
Yeah, well, that's what USA's job is over the next year, to get me, say, 100 affiliates, and over the next 2 years, 200 affiliates, and et cetera, et cetera. That's their job. I think right now I'm in eight markets right now, and we just started a month ago. So at the end of the year, let's hope we're in 100. That's the goal.
You're doing, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You're also a TV producer. Are you going to have to cut back on anything else to do this, or?
I'm just trying to jam everything I do into a few hours a day, because radio is kind of all enveloping, as you know. It takes up the whole day booking your guests and thinking up questions for your guests and then doing the actual show and speaking with sponsors and meeting with sponsors. And so all things considered, radio becomes a full-time job. So it's like I have two full-time jobs each day, my whole life and all my normal careers, and then radio. And you try to jam them all into a 16-hour day, and hopefully you get you get a little bit of sleep. But that's my life nowadays. But you know what? You only get to live once. I could sleep when I die, right?
Yeah.
I can rest when I'm dead.
That's incredible. I mean, you've written books like Power of Relentless. So you have it in you, and you always have. Would you say, or was it something that just sparked up at some point in your life?
Well, I think I always had a lot of ambition, a lot of get up and go, and always been very action oriented. But all of that led me to try and study and find ways to make myself more high energy and more action oriented, and take less less sleep and more action. And so I became this guy who studied health and fitness, and so now I take 100 vitamin pills a day, and I try and work out an hour and a half to 2 hours in the gym every day, and I eat healthy organic food, and I meditate every day, and I pray every day. Mm-hmm. And so I do a little bit of yoga. When you add it all together, all of that is what gives me the get up and go to sleep less and work more. So I credit it to the vitamins and the healthy food and the healthy lifestyle and the exercise.
Okay, 100 vitamins, that's quite a lot.
I've been taking 100 vitamins a day for a long time. Since I'm in my early 20s, I've been taking vitamins since I was 16 when I was trying to make the football team, and I wound up football team, track team, and tennis team. And then I started popping more vitamins when I got to college. And so I've been taking 100 vitamins a day probably since college, and I feel like I'm 25 years old. So it works, baby, it works.
Yeah, 100, so pretty much all of them, right? If you're taking 100, that covers every vitamin.
Yeah, you could take a hell of a lot more, let me tell you. There's a lot I don't take because I'm allergic to most herbs. So I really just take vitamins, not herbs. A lot of people take herbs, too. So, there's things I'm not taking, but I definitely have done a lot of studying. It's not like I take them haphazardly, and it's taken me probably 20 years to come to the exact formula I take now. I rarely add a new vitamin. Once in a while, maybe once a year, something new I try out. But for the most part, I've got it down to a science. I know what works for my body. And it was important to me because I lost both my parents to cancer 28 days apart in 1992. So I've always been, very concerned with staying healthy and making sure that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah. Well, one last question on this line. For those that get caught in their own heads, their own thoughts, they have ambitions, but the action doesn't seem to kick in for them. How do you do that? How do you get past thinking about things and just doing them?
Well, I wrote the book, The Power of Relentless, and it really is my my 7-step program for how you become action-oriented and how you get the doubt out of your mind, the fear out of your mind, and relax yourself in the face of terrible stress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my program is literally eating healthy, exercising every day, meditating every day, praying to God every day, saying affirmations and visualizations, taking a walk every day, doing a little bit of yoga. All of that is part of my program. I call it positive addictions. And I think most people in this country are addicted to negative things, bad food, unhealthy food, fatty food, filled with preservatives and chemicals and hormones and antibiotics. And they're, you know, they're addicted to not exercising. They're lazy. They're addicted to not praying, not meditating. And, you know, so they don't take any vitamins. And when you add it all together, you know, they're at a very big disadvantage to me. And so I'm trying to teach people how to do it right. And I give it all away basically for free. I mean, unless you want to count the cost of a book for $14 at Amazon, Power of Relentless. Yeah, I think it's a way to go.
If you do all of that except for the God part, could you still make it, you think?
But look, God's very important to me, but I never judge anybody else. I'm sure there's someone listening who's an atheist, and if you just exercise, meditate, and eat right, and take care of yourself, pop some vitamin pills, that alone will help you. Each one of the parts of my positive addictions is good for you. I think they're all synergistic together. I'm a big God believer, but I would never tell anyone else what to do. They have to judge for themselves. But read it and find out why I do what I do, why I believe in God, why I believe in meditation. Some God people will never meditate. They think meditation's too new agey. I'm a God person, and yet I think meditation has been one of the keys to my success in life.
Yeah.
You know, take away meditation, I'm a very different person. So they all work synergistically.
And you meditate every morning then? Is that how you
every
start
every morning. First thing I do when I wake up is I meditate for 15 minutes every morning.
Mm-hmm. And no vices then, huh? There's got to be something, Wayne. Something...
I'm not a big vice guy. I'm really not. I've never been, you know, I love to bet on football games if you think that's a vice.
No,
I don't.
No cigars or occasional
no,
drinks?
No, I've never been a smoker in my life. I'd probably be dead if I was a smoker. Mm. Listen, my dad died of lung cancer and never smoked. So think what would happen to me if I smoked. he died. A lot of doctors felt, they're just guessing, but he was on ships in the Navy during World War II, and you have all that asbestos and all the pipes in the ships, and they feel he got that in his lungs, and that's probably what got him. So, you know, he died of lung cancer without ever smoking a day in his life. So who wants to smoke and test that theory, right?
Wayne Allyn Root with us. RootForAmerica.com. Now, the James Comey firing is the biggest story probably of the week or the month even. What do you think is going to end up happening with this? How big of a scandal is this, really?
It's not a scandal at all. It's fine. And, you know, it's so funny. I mean, Donald Trump is known for what's the catchphrase? You're fired. That's what you do in the private sector. I've fired people my whole life. Donald Trump's fired people his whole life. And we hired him to drain the swamp. That's what every person at every rally wanted him to do, was to go there and fire the IRS commissioner. And I always said, in tandem with that, fire the DOJ people and fire the FBI chief. I have never, from the first day, I'm not working backwards here to defend Donald Trump. From the first day, I've written many articles saying that I just do not trust James Comey. I think he's a rat fink. I think he's bribed. I think he's bad news. Mm-hmm. I think he's paid off by the Clintons. He's, you know, and bribery is a funny word. I don't mean that they walk up to him and say, here's $1 million. That's not the type of bribe I'm talking about. I'm talking about Comey in between stints at the FBI and before this latest stint as chief of the FBI. Comey was a huge, on a board of directors of a major company. He was an executive with a major company. I heard he earned tens of millions in stock options. You know, there's a guy that, you know, makes $150,000 a year as a government bureaucrat, and suddenly he's got a job making tens of millions of dollars. Gee, I guess it pays to be a government bureaucrat and be nice to the right people.
So
maybe the Clintons got him that job.
You're saying Comey's probably not too upset here?
I don't think Comey really cares, other than his reputation doesn't look too good right now. Nobody likes that. No one ever likes to be fired. Let's be clear about that. No one ever likes accusations against them. But the reality is, let's get away from Comey. Let's go to the new acting chief of the FBI, acting director, Andrew McCabe. He's far worse than Comey. And that's the reason I would have fired Comey above all else, is that he allowed Andrew McCabe to remain in the job, and now he's the acting director.
So what do you do now, fire McCabe? Is that next?
Well, do you know what McCabe's charges are, right?
No.
Okay, so McCabe was actually the person in charge of the Hillary investigation. Okay, Comey's in charge of the whole FBI. McCabe's the deputy director, and he's assigned to oversee the Hillary investigation. McCabe's wife is a Democrat politician. She runs for state senate in Virginia, and Hillary and Bill Clinton's best friend for 30 years, Terry McAuliffe, governor of Virginia. He gives her $700,000 in campaign donations. Okay. For a state senate run, you know, a state senate run costs like $10,000. Maybe some people raise $50,000. Maybe there's even an occasional $100,000. In my whole life, I'm 55 years old. I've never heard of anyone raising $700,000, let alone $700,000 from one charity, one donor, for a state senate run of a state. I've never heard of it in my life, and yet it was Bill and Hillary's best friend, Terry McAuliffe, and their chief fundraiser for 30 years, who managed to give $700,000 to the wife of the FBI guy in charge of the investigation against Hillary, which wound up saying, let's not prosecute Hillary. Well, if that isn't bribery, if that isn't a black eye on the FBI, if that doesn't make everyone listening believe something's wrong and the Clintons have bribed people in the FBI and these people are all conflicted at the very least, conflicts of interest, my name's not Wayne Root. And the fact that this was public knowledge and Comey didn't fire McCabe tells me why Comey should be gone. But it's crazy that McCabe is now acting director.
So you're saying he's innately anti-Trump, McCabe?
It's obvious he's a bureaucrat, he's a Democrat, his wife's a Democrat, he's for big government. But forget all that. That's prejudice. That's not the same as bribery. How do you not consider it a bribe to give someone $700,000 in donations, you know, disguised as donations, but it's a thinly veiled bribe? So you come to the conclusion that the wife can't be prosecuted, because we all know this is all in the eye of the beholder. Anybody could say yes or no to prosecution.
Tell me this, Wayne, those that look, Democrats certainly look at Donald Trump and say, look, this is a businessman. He demands loyalty. He's going to put somebody in the FBI to run it that is loyal to him, and that's not how the presidency is supposed to work. What do you say to that?
I say that if you were president of the United States, if I were president of the United States, I certainly wouldn't name a bad guy. I wouldn't name a Clinton ally. In other words, everyone else does it. It seems to me the Clintons were very clear in naming an ally to the head of the FBI and an ally to the head of the Attorney General. If anyone has a problem with Trump naming an ally head of the FBI, maybe someone should ask who McCabe's ally was when his wife was accepting $700,000. Maybe someone should ask who Loretta Lynch's ally was when she was meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton, not only whose wife was under investigation, but he himself was under investigation because there were multiple FBI investigations at the time into the Clinton Foundation. So she's meeting with a guy who's being investigated on the tarmac alone on an airplane that when the tarmac's been cleared off for just her and him, and they claim, it was just a coincidence she was there at the same time as him, and they talked about grandfather things. They were just complimenting the grandkids. Many people were just born yesterday, but I wasn't born in the last 5 minutes.
Right, but for those that basically get their news from CNN, MSNBC, Fox also, did you watch network news, by the way, yourself daily? Or?
I'm 55 years old. Since I was 5 years old, starting with my dad, every single night I've watched NBC Evening News my whole life until about a year ago. I slowed down a little bit in the 2012 election because I felt I'd never in my life seen more vicious, biased, one-sided news reporting on NBC Evening News than I saw against Mitt Romney. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 3 years later, not 4 years later, 3 years later, you know, during the Trump campaign when he was running, it went to a level that I couldn't even imagine, 50 times worse than it was under Mitt Romney when Romney was running. So I just decided I'd never watch the news again on network news now, and I've never watched NBC Evening News ever again.
So don't they
get worried? Yeah. That's why they're losing audience. Don't they understand
they're going
to go broke?
I think their ratings are actually up during his presidency so far just because of all the controversy. So you're saying you don't watch any CNN or MSNBC?
I said I no longer watch the network news, ABC, NBC, CBS. Yeah. I watch Fox News all the time. I don't watch CNN. I never would look at MSNBC. It's a joke. But I'll tell you what. If you are a person on, a host on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, it's your job to be as impartial as possible. I don't mean the Hannity host. I mean an anchor person or the host of a show that pretends at least to be impartial. But there is no impartiality. Here's the proof. Wayne Root is a good enough expert and media personality and smart enough guy that I'm invited on Fox News somewhere around 20 times a year, every single year. This year I'm on pace to be on 20 times. Last year I was on about 20 times. Mm-hmm. And there were times in the past I was on even more than that, just on Neil Cavuto's show. In the past I've been on 20 times alone. So 20 times a year minimum, I'm on national TV, all 20 plus on Fox News.
Well,
haven't been invited on CNN in 30 years. I've never been invited on MSNBC. Yeah. How does anyone explain that?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, I remember you were on Bill Maher last year, right? Have you been back?
Yes, and that was the first time in 20 years. I think it was 1997 was the last time I was on Bill Maher's show. I used to be a regular on Politically Incorrect. So it was 20 years plus in between appearances on Bill Maher's show.
And he has not invited you back, I'm guessing.
Not so far, and believe me, I pitch them every day.
Hey, as a media expert yourself, when you see Sean Spicer holding that meeting, you know, outside the White House, in the bushes, he's being made fun of now for what happened this week. What's your view on how they're handling dealing with the media, the Trump administration?
There's no question. Here's where I'll be fair. I am usually fair. I just happen to be on Trump's side 99% of the time. But I don't think they always handle things very well, and I don't think Sean Spicer is a very good spokesman. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I could do a much better job than Sean Spicer. Laura Ingraham would do a much better job than Sean Spicer. He needs to get better people representing him because I just don't think they do a good job of defending him at all.
And what holds him back? He certainly understands the media, President Trump. Why is he not addressing this?
I don't know. I don't have any answer to that. Why you would pick someone that's not a good defender, I have no idea. But I know I've been a damn good defender. He's made, at this point, well over 1,000 appearances to defend Donald Trump, not just in America, but I think at this point I'm in 12 or 13 foreign countries, and that's only because I'm counting, you know, the second biggest Arabic TV network in the world, which goes to, I think it was 30 Muslim nations, and I was on there. I don't count it as 30. I count it as one. If I count it as I was in 30 nations, 30 Muslim nations, then I've been in 30 plus 12, 42 nations defending Donald Trump. So I know that I can handle any question, and I can hit back harder than they hit me. Why he doesn't have people around him that do that, I have no idea.
Sean's criticized for being too aggressive with the press, I think, many times. What would you do differently? What's he doing wrong when he's in the press briefing?
I just have not thought his answers were especially good or especially crisp. That's the only answer I can give you. I'm not a big fan of Spicer, and I think Donald could be better served with a Laura Ingraham or a Wayne Root or someone who has been in the media their whole lives, not only answering questions in the media as a guest like I am on your show, but here I am a national radio host who asks the questions. I've been in media my whole life, the media glare at spotlight, and I've had tough questions thrown at me my whole life. I don't answer them. I just don't think Sean Spicer is good enough at doing it. I would get a better person, personally.
One last thing. Do you have any feelings that President Trump may be in jeopardy in terms of his actual position, that he may have to resign at some point?
No, I don't think there's any chance of that, but I do think that this is further proof that A, liberals are insane, they need straitjackets, they should head to the loony bin. B, they're all conspiracy theorists, they used to call us birthers. Anyone who asks a question about President Obama's background, I was told by a liberal journalist, doesn't matter if it involves his birth or not, anyone who dares to ask any question about Obama's background is a birther, he said. And so here you have Rachel Maddow and all the loonies on the left asking a million questions about Russia, about Trump's taxes, now about the FBI, floating conspiracy theories, making stories up like Harry Reid made stories up about Mitt Romney's taxes. And I'm telling you, they should all be called conspiracy theorists and birthers and taxers. Mm-hmm. And the Russian ones should be called Rushers. And the ones making up stories about Comey should be called Comers. We should make up names for all of them because I've never seen such wacky conspiracy theorists in my life. Mm-hmm. The nation is upside down because Trump wants to cut government. And all the people who love big government are coming after him. And so we got to hit back with everything we got and defend ourselves. Bring a gun to a gunfight, boys.
You think that there won't be any, it'll be found that there's zero connection between Russians and the Trump campaign?
Zero other than Mike Flynn, who may have done something untoward. I mean, obviously, Mike Flynn, if he was, you know, accepting consulting fees from Russia and not disclosing it, he's got a problem. Nothing I could do about that. But that had nothing to do with my boy Donald Trump. Nothing at all. And Donald Trump, does he have any business dealings with Russia? Let me think. He's worth somewhere between $5 and $10 billion. There are many Russians who've bought his condos at Trump Tower. There's Russian money, in addition to many other monies, probably Chinese, Japanese, and every other kind you could think of around the world, investing in all of his projects. I'm sure he has Europeans and Greeks and Italians and Latin Americans investing in his projects, too. Is there any connection to Putin and Trump together as a team, hacking the DNC and trying to change the election? No, I don't believe that for a second. But I do know that Obama tried to influence the Israeli election and use taxpayer money and put boots on the ground. I know Obama tried to influence the Canadian election in favor of Justin Trudeau. I know that Obama just influenced the French election in favor of Macron. I know that influencing goes on every day, and I know that CNBC and CNN and NBC all tried to influence the American election by lying with fake news. So, you know, go ahead and hit Trump with your best shot.
Wayne Allen Root, rootforamerica.com. Many books. He's a best-selling author. Books like The Power of Relentless, also Angry White Male. RootForAmerica.com. Wayne Allen Root here on 1320 WILS. Wayne, thank you as always.
Thank you, Michael. God bless.
We are just getting started on this beautiful Friday. A lot more coming up. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.